Good evening. Hope you're doing well tonight. Before we get into our lesson tonight, it's been about a month since we introduced the Choose To concept. And I hope by now, as was mentioned this morning, that you have taken the opportunity to choose two people that you're going to be committed to this year and trying to reach. It's, you know, not just something that we should do this year, but it's something that we should always be doing, looking for people in our life that we can work and try to serve. And throughout this year, we'll have some different things to add on to that. Not more people, but different strategies and things that you can do to try to reach them. So I hope that you'll look for those things and look for opportunities that we might draw closer, help bring people closer to God. One of the things that we have found in trying to reach people is that in our limited data set that we have, one of the most effective ways for reaching people is to eat meals with them. We found that, at least in the small amount of people that have told us they've gone out to eat with people, that eventually 60% of these will result in a study of some kind. And so if we're spending time with people, eating with them, fellowshipping with them, a lot of times these will lead to discussions about the Bible. And so I'd encourage you to make sure that you're doing that with your contacts, that you're finding ways to reach them, ultimately so that they can come to know the truth of the gospel. Tonight we're going to be talking about becoming an unattractional church. Now that kind of sounds like a weird title, and I'll explain that a little bit more as we go. But there's this term out in Christianity broadly within the denominational world called the attractional church. Some of you may know what this is, but basically the idea is that this is a church that tries to conduct worship and all their practices and ministry according to the desires and values of, notice the word here, potential consumers of Christianity. Now, as you can suspect, this is kind of bizarre. But if you take a look around the religious world today, do we not see churches acting in this capacity? Right? We see churches that their entire church ministry structure is geared around a particular performance, experience, or as I might say, show that is put on every Sunday morning. Their staff is all around that. Their program is, and it's all about getting people to that thing. And they would say, this is our outreach. We're going to put on, we're going to do a thing here. We're going to try to attract people to our services using different strategies and techniques so that then they can hear the word of God. And this is basically an approach to church that is do whatever it takes to get people in the building, no matter what. Whatever corners we need to cut, whatever things we need to optimize, whatever we need to create and build for people, we're going to do that so that they will come. And a lot of times what happens in these situations is that there's a strong desire for people to be culturally relevant, to be trendy, to do things that are different in order to attract. And oftentimes this becomes the focus. Sometimes these situations are known as seeker-sensitive churches. We're catering to what we think people want out of church in order to get them in the doors. Here's another quote that describes this phenomenon. The attractional church seeks to reach out to the culture and draw people into the church. Attractional churches design their services and programs in such a way to attract attendees. A primary focus of the attractional church is to attract congregants to worship services. This has been the leading cause of growth in a lot of congregations of the denominational flavor for a long time. They have grown from very small organizations into very large ones. They begin to kind of have this flow and this look to where their focus becomes not necessarily on preaching the truth or encouraging people to repent, but upon generating the most and the biggest crowd and attracting people to their church. But as we can see, there's some serious weaknesses with this. Last year, I wrote an article talking about this kind of thing from a youth ministry perspective, and one of the things that you will hear sometimes is what you win people with is what you have to keep people with. If someone is coming to our church, or if someone has come to the truth, and this is relevant for evangelism as well, because, you know, we're trying to find different ways to develop relationships with people so they can know the truth. But the thing which we use, not in a manipulative form, but the thing which draws people to the church is the thing that will keep them there or cause them to leave. So if they are coming here for the word of God, for the truth of the gospel, and for genuine worship and genuine truth and faith, that's going to be there for them. But if they're here for some other reason, then they're liable to walk away when that thing is no longer available to them. You know, not every Sunday morning is a VBS. Not every Sunday morning is an exciting event. Not every Sunday morning is, you know, sometimes the type of outreach events that we do. And so I think we have to be careful, and I think our outreach events are important, don't get me wrong. But what we don't want to communicate to people is that, you know, this is what you came for, but that's not what you're going to get. And so we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Churches like this have trouble because they make decisions on how to operate, not based on what the Bible says, but based on what's popular and relevant. So what do you see there? You see an always changing environment, an environment that is seeking to constantly adapt to new trends to the point that they will eventually compromise the Word of God in order to be culturally appropriate. You'll also see that oftentimes when they ask people to respond to something, they're just wanting people to believe in Christ and to give their life to Christ. Is that a bad thing? No. But what does the Bible say about responding to the gospel message? That we need to repent and to change our lives. If there's not true repentance in a response, then that's not the kind of response that Jesus wants from us. Jesus not only wants us to confess our faith in Him, He wants us to change the way that we live. And if we're just going and affirming that Jesus existed and died, but going and continuing to live as we always have lived, that's not a true change of life. That's not the kind of transformation that Christ came here and encouraged us to have. Sermons sometimes in these types of churches come across more like self-help talks for a better life, rather than a true proclamation of the Word of God. Not always, but sometimes. Sometimes they'll incorporate people in their leadership who may be there because of skills and not necessarily because of their commitment to faith. Sometimes they avoid talking about sensitive topics and hard truths because that might push people away. If we talk about sin, if we talk about hell, if we talk about consequences, if we talk about change, then we might struggle to get the people in the door. These types of churches create cultural Christians who are more there just because of an environment, because of a lifestyle, as opposed to being true, committed disciples of Jesus. So the question we have to ask as we're looking at ourselves and looking at some of these trends in the broader religious world, when we're asking people to come be a part of our worship services, when we're asking people to study the Bible, are we bringing people to God in Christ? Or are we just trying to sell them a church? And that's something we need to think about. Is it wrong for us to try to promote the church here? No, we should. But we got to make sure that our job as Christians is that we're promoting the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, first and foremost, of which the church that Jesus died for is a part of that story. But we're not just trying to sell an institution. We're trying to share and teach the gospel with people. So I'm going to kind of put a spin on that. If that's what an attractional church is, that their goal is try to attract as many people as possible to come to their assemblies, how do we not do that? Okay. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't try to encourage people to come to church, but it's the way that they go about that that's the problem. So to kind of make it kind of a twist on words, let's try to be an unattractional church. So what does that mean? The first off, an unattractional church is motivated by trying to please God first and not man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul writes, "But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." As a minister of the gospel, Paul and the apostles and others and also all Christians, we've been entrusted with a gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ that has come to the earth, died, buried, and then resurrected so that we might have everlasting life through Him. And so because of that, when we speak, we must speak to please God and not to man. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to be understandable. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try to explain things in a way that people can understand. But it does mean that our ultimate goal is to try to please God and not to please people. So that might mean that we may not always do the things that people want out of a church. Why? Because we're trying to please God and not man. if our goal is to make as many people as happy as possible for the sake of numbers, at some point, we're going to compromise the truth of God's word in order to accomplish that. Because not everyone is going to be happy with the truth. A lot of people will be happy with being told they're just fine and okay. But not everybody's going to be happy with the truth. And Jesus himself encountered that in his own ministry. Paul warned in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, if I were still trying to please man, and he's speaking with respect to the circumcision issue with the Pharisees, Pharisaic and Judaizing Christians, he says, if I'm still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. When our goal is to please people first and foremost, we're not serving God at that point. We're serving people. Is it wrong to serve other people? No. But we serve other people in the service of God. We don't serve other people first and God second. By serving and obeying God, we will naturally serve other people. But we have to get our priorities straight with that, because if our mission, if our goal, if our work in the church and as Christians is to make as many people happy with Jesus as possible and avoid stepping on too many toes, then we've not communicated the gospel clearly that we've been entrusted to speak. When we start making decisions about what makes the most people happy, things are going to get out of whack with the church. Things are going to go a way that God did not intend. Compromises will be made. Doctrines will change. Sermons will be avoided. Conversations won't be had. People won't be approached when they're in sin, because we don't want to lose anybody. We're afraid of hurting people and driving them away. Should we be sensitive? Yes. That's part of the reason why our theme this year is to speak the truth in love. But we still have to speak that truth and make sure that we don't avoid the hard conversations that need to be had. We're here to not please the world, but to please God. And by pleasing God, we can strive to reach the world. The second thing is an unattractional church. It's a church that wins people to the gospel. Romans chapter 1:16, Paul says it is the gospel that is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. An attractional church is trying to attract people to their particular brand of church. Here's why our church is better than other churches. Here's why you should come here and not there. But our goal as Christians is not to attract people to a church, although I think we have a pretty great church. Our goal is to attract people to the truth of God's word, and that's what sets us apart from other places. It's not about just having a great worship experience. It's not just about being nice and friendly, although those things are important too. It's not just about having lots of programs and ministries, although those things can be very helpful to further the cause of the gospel. We should do all these things, but we should never let these things become the goal. We should never let those things become the end purpose. We should have great ministries and programs insofar as they support the goal and mission of the church. We should be nice and friendly to people because that's who God wants us to be. But that's not our entire identity. Our identity is being faithful to God in Christ. And it's the gospel that we're trying to win people to. Not to how friendly we are, not how many programs we have or how many kids things we do, which again, all those things are fantastic. But we need to be inviting people to know the truth of the gospel, because that's what we want to be showing to people as much as possible. The third thing is, an unattractional church is committed to producing committed disciples as opposed to just producing consumers. A lot of modern Christianity has become much like our culture, which is consumer-focused. We are producing a product to put out into the world for you to absorb, to watch, to listen to consume, and to kind of passively participate in that process. Jesus didn't put his preaching out there just for entertainment. Jesus put his preaching out to initiate life change in the lives of believers. And the things that we are doing here need to be helping to produce change in people's lives for the sake of the gospel. Now, here's the thing with Jesus' challenge, with even Jesus' ministry. In John chapter 6 and verse 26, and we've talked about this before, there were people that, of course, were following Christ because all the great miracles he was doing. You know, he was healing people. He was casting out demons. He was feeding the 5,000. He was doing miraculous and very big, large-scale miracles. And there were many people that were interested in the work that he was doing because of the great things that he was doing. But as we know, sometimes when Jesus started to get into the harder teachings, people had a hard time with that and they walked away from them. In John chapter 6 and verse 26, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." They were following Christ temporarily because they got something out of it. And sometimes that's how it starts for us, but that can't be how it ends for us. You know, Jesus was not wrong for doing these miracles. He was not wrong for helping people and healing them. That was part of his work. But some people were more attracted to that than they were the message of salvation that Jesus was bringing. The proofs that he was showing that he was the Messiah. They were more concerned with the output than they were with the reason behind it. The fact that he was the Son of God, come to this earth to die for our sins. And so some of the people, even in Jesus' day, that were casual onlookers, they were consumers of what Jesus was doing. They were not committed disciples. Their motives were just misplaced. And when there became a cost to following Jesus, they were gone because they weren't willing to bear the cost. They wanted what they could get, and they were gone. Unfortunately, I think that a lot of the world and the environment of religions today kind of provides and caters to that mindset. Here's why our product is better than another product. Here's why you should come here instead of there. You should do this instead of that. You should listen to this and buy our thing and do this thing. And we start looking a lot more like the world around us than the disciples that Jesus has called us to be. And so the result of this is not necessarily people that are committed to Christ truthfully. Maybe they're committed to a brand. Maybe they're committed to a social group more than they are to the truth of God's word. You know, we have a commission from Jesus to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that Jesus has commanded, Matthew 28:19-20. Our goal is to make people to become followers of Christ, not Christian consumers of religious content. And it's important that we as a church and all the works and ministries that we are doing, and when we're talking to people and reaching people, we're not trying to just come get them to come watch, okay, instead of going to that religious place, we want you to come to this religious place. We're trying to help them change their life. We're trying to help them, and we want them, and we want you to be committed to the gospel of Christ, not just because of the church here at Carnes, but because it's what God wants for you and for all people in this world. Our goal is to make disciples. Number four, just because we're being an unattractional church doesn't mean we have to be unattractive. We still need to be friendly. We still need to be a place that people want to be, but not as the main goal of who we are. But I think that when we're being faithful in our life, when we're being genuine followers of Christ, when we're being truthful, when we're being honest, when we're being the people that God wants us to be, that's going to be an attractive place to be. If some of you have ever experienced church hurt before, that's not a place you want to be. When Christians or leaders are acting in ways that they shouldn't be acting and they're causing harm and they know better, that's not a church you want to be at. But if that church had been faithful, if that church or those people or that place had been doing what they were supposed to be doing, that would be an attractional place to be, or an attractive place to be. Not because that was their goal, but because their goal was faithfulness. Not because they were trying to convince people to come there because of some slick manipulation, but because they were being the people that God was wanting them to be, and that by doing that, they were being lights into the world. John 13:35 says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And you know what? Right after Pentecost, you see that perfectly displayed. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, you know, they were spending all this time together. They were taking care of the poor. They were worshiping with one another. They were fellowshipping in each other's homes. And they had favor with all the people. because of who they were in Christ, it made the church attractive. Not because they were trying to be attractional, but because they were trying to be who they were supposed to be in the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." People will be attracted to Christ and will give glory to God when we're being the people that we ought to be. And that may not be attractional, but that can be extremely attractive to the world. There's a lot of people out there looking for genuine religion. They're tired of the fakeness. They're tired of the shallow Christianity. They're tired of people pretending to be Christians on Sunday and living their life like everyone else the rest of the week. They're tired of people saying they follow Christ, but doing something different. They're tired of people mistreating them, and that they were looking for people who are genuine followers of Jesus Christ, who are seeking to follow the truth, and are doing what it is that God expects of us. And you're not going to find that everywhere. But you will find it when people are striving to put God first, to please Him, and not to please man. As we've said several times tonight, there's a lot of people in this world today who have devoted themselves, not necessarily to following Christ, but into attracting people to their church, religion, whatever it is. And as a result, they've made some compromises. They have rejected the truth of the word. They have introduced practices in order to be appealing to people, in order to get people interested in them, rather than being who they ought to be in Jesus Christ. They've created a culture of consumerism, where it's not really about the truth, but it's about what I can get out of this and feel good about myself. We should strive to be the opposite by being who God wants us to be in our faith, in our life, in our behavior, in our homes, in our families, in the workplace, and in our churches as well. Christ has given us a very clear vision for what He wants the church to be and who He wants us to be as a part of His church. And it's our goal in this life to both do that ourselves, but also to encourage one another to be the people and to execute that vision in this world. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, we can lose our focus from time to time. Sometimes it's easy to start to think, well, what can I do to try to convince people to see my church or what I believe as something to be attractive to? How can I change things so that people will like it and not dislike it? And it's easy to get into that trap of figuring out not how I can be who I need to be in Christ and to show people the truth and the power of the gospel, but what can I do to convince people that you know, there's something good here? And I think when we lean on the truth of God's word instead of on our own abilities and our own skills, to show people the truth and to show people why God's word is so powerful and to show them why God's word is the answer to life, I think sometimes we can fall into that trap of trying to please people rather than pleasing God. Sometimes we can end up compromising our faith as a result. Because we want to go along to get along. We don't want to upset people. And so we let go of the truth in order to keep the peace. But if you have at some point in your life crossed that line where you think, you know, maybe sometimes I have compromised my faith. Because I was trying to keep people happy with me so that they would like me as a Christian and they would want to be at church, or they would see as my religion is acceptable, or they would think I'm like them, or they would think it's more palatable for them. I've crossed some lines, or I've accepted some things, or I've not spoken up when I should because I wanted people to like me as a result. The good news is, even in those situations, we can repent and find forgiveness in God. We can find forgiveness for the times when we've tried to please people rather than please God, whether as individually, in our work of the church, or otherwise. If you've done this or have struggled with any sins in your life, all you need to do is repent of those sins, ask for forgiveness, and by the grace of God, as Christians, we can be forgiven. But this evening, if you're not a Christian, if you've never put Christ on in baptism, if you've never become a true disciple of Christ, maybe you've been living your life as a consumer of Christianity, going from place to place, but not really committing yourself to a life in Christ and to the Lord's church. I know that there's a lot of churches to choose from. It's overwhelming, the amount of choice that's out there, the amount of different ways that people try to do church to please God. Just know that what makes the Lord's church different from other churches is that we're striving to be ultimately faithful to God and His Word, not to please people, but to please the one who has given us life and purpose on this earth to do His will. We want you to become a follower of Christ. We want you to be a committed disciple in His kingdom, serving Jesus the way that He would want you to serve Him. You can do that tonight by repenting of your sins, confessing Him before men, asking and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can live a faithful life as a committed disciple of Christ, not just a consumer of surface-level Christianity. We're here to support you in that life, and you won't just be a number to us. Although we do keep track of numbers, you're more to us than that. We want you to be a brother and sister in Christ, part of our family, so that we can journey together towards heaven. If you have any needs tonight, whether to repent of sin in your life or to put Christ on in baptism, we're here for you as a church as we stand and sing.